Black Flame of the Amazon, featuring Harold Noyce, world-famous explorer in person.
Well, it looks like Mr. Noyce has at last convinced Jimmy and Jean that they should stay within the safety of the trading post while he and Pedro pushes on upriver on the trail of Grogan and Scroggins, who, as you remember, stole the treasure map belonging to the Brady family. Right now, we find it early morning at the jungle trading post. In a little while, the explorer and his assistant will start their long paddle upriver. Jimmy, Jean, Mr. Noyce, and Mr. Morton, the trader, are at breakfast. Quito is absent. Already he has gone to try and locate a family of monkeys. For today, after Mr. Noyce leaves, Jimmy and Jean intend to go into the wild animal catching business in a big way. Let's step into the trading post and listen.
You know, it isn't bad at all to be sitting down at a real breakfast table once in a while.
You said it, Jimmy. And real food, too. Bacon and eggs,
Oh, we could supply you with almost anything, Miss Jean. We could have a tapir steak and monkey meat.
Oh, no thanks, Mr. Morton. No monkey meat for me.
Oh, Morton, while I'm gone, you might get Jean sort of used to real jungle food, Indian style, eh?
By George, that's an idea. I can have Quito take both Jimmy and Jean over to his village for lunch someday.
Lunch? Do the Indians have lunch, too?
Oh, surely. Well, that is, they don't exactly call it lunch, you understand. But it's about the same.
Oh, yes, sir. Just little tasty snacks between meals, as it were.
Say, that would be fun, Jimmy.
Well, I don't know whether it would or not. Did you see what I just saw? Mr. Noyce and Mr. Morton were winking at each other.
Oh, winking, huh? Oh, so there's a catch to it.
Well, that's what I think. But look, Mr. Morton, what's the joke?
Oh, it's no joke. The Indians take their eating quite seriously, I assure you, Jimmy.
Oh, then you mean it's some kind of new food? Is that it?
Well, yes and no. It isn't exactly new. In fact, it's very old, and there's plenty of it.
Well, there's some kind of strange fruit, maybe, that grows on trees.
No, it doesn't exactly grow on trees, but it runs up and down trees.
A lunch that runs up and down trees? Say, what kind of a lunch is it that we're having, anyway?
Ants, Miss Jean.
Ants? Ants? You mean the little crawly things that... Oh, no, Mr. Morton.
But yes. Ants are a great delicacy up in this district, Miss Jean.
You mean they cook ants and eat them?
Well, yes, indeed. And then for a change, they don't cook them at all.
Eat live ants?
Eat live ants.
Why, that's positively terrible, eating live things.
Oh, but you too have eaten live things, haven't you?
Oh, never. No, sir, Mr. Norris.
Nor me either. I don't like to chew on anything that's still standing on the hoof.
Well, now, let's see. You've eaten oysters, haven't you? Oysters in the half shell?
Oh, sure, many times.
Well, they were alive then.
Oh, yeah, but that's different, I guess. Different from ants.
Well, yes, I think you're partly correct. At least a live oyster doesn't snap at you.
Well, do the ants snap at you then?
Well, now, Jimmy, suppose somebody was going to eat you. You'd snap, wouldn't you?
Well, I'll say I would. Gosh, I'd even bark, maybe.
But, Mr. Noyce, Have you ever actually eaten ants?
On several occasions, Miss Jean.
Live ants? Real, honest-to-goodness, live ants?
The livest ants you ever saw.
Oh.
And did they snap at you?
Well, at first they did, till I got the hang of it. And then I found out that to eat ants at an Indian village feast, I had to learn to snap first.
But why did you ever eat them at all, Mr. Noyce? Did you have to? Were you as hungry as all that?
No, Jimmy, but, well, whichever country you're in, you really have to sort of abide by the customs of that country. If your host sets down a special, delicate meal of his own fixing...
Oh, you mean you got to have good manners and eat it?
And never complain.
Oh, you know, Jimmy, the more I see of this jungle, the better I like it back home.
Oh, yeah. But come now. You're just getting used to it here. And the longer you live here, the better you'll like it.
Oh, maybe, Mr. Morton. But I should live that long.
Well, long or not long, I refuse to eat ants. I wouldn't maybe mind monkey meat or tapir steak. I'd even eat elephant knuckles if I had to.
Oh, but you won't need to, Jimmy. Fortunately, we have about everything else in this region, but no elephants.
But you lived in India, didn't you, Mr. Morton? There's elephants there?
Oh, yes, indeed. About as common as horses back home.
Did you ever capture any elephants, Mr. Morton?
Yes, on occasion. I've attended the government roundup.
Well, you know something? I think I'd like to be an elephant catcher. Boy, when you do catch even one elephant, you got lots of quantity.
Oh, well, after you graduate from capturing monkeys and things like that, elephants will be easy.
Say, Mr. Morton, you ought to know this. How about elephants? Is it true that there's a great elephant cemetery someplace?
You mean, Jimmy, where wild elephants all go to die?
Well, sure. I read about that one time. A funny thing, isn't it?
Yes, it sounds funny, Jimmy. It is funny, in fact. But it's more or less of a story, fiction. Oh, but don't ask me. Here's Mr. Noyce. He knows more about that subject than I do.
No, no, Morton. You carry on. I'll listen. I'm liable to learn something.
Please, Mr. Noyce.
Oh, but Miss Jean, wild elephants are found only in Africa and India and near surroundings. This jungle is my happy hunting ground.
Oh, but Noyce, I recall you once mentioned a theory you had about this subject we're now on.
Please, Mr. Noyce, what was the theory?
Well, now, understand it isn't my theory at all, but rather that of a very famous naturalist, an acquaintance I made in the Explorers Club. His hobby was elephants, wild elephants.
But did he ever find an elephant cemetery?
No, and for that matter, no one ever has.
Oh, but you admit, Noyce, don't you, that no one thus far has ever discovered the remains of an elephant that died of natural causes?
So it is said.
Then where do the elephants go? I mean, well, they must die sometime, and they must go someplace.
That is the theory, yes. But if they do, why hasn't such a place been discovered?
But haven't some men, I mean ivory hunters, haven't they been searching and searching?
Sure. And I saw a movie one time back home, and it showed a big sort of valley, and it had a big cave in it. And the cave was just crammed full of elephant tusks.
Yeah, I remember that one, Jean. And it was supposed to be an elephant burying ground.
Yeah.
Well, that was a movie, Jimmy. Fiction, not an educational picture or a scientifically correct fact.
Then what do you think, Mr. Noyce?
I think exactly as my friend the naturalist thinks. He has a most sound theory that there is no such thing as an elephant burying ground.
Well, how do you account for the fact that no one thus far has ever discovered a wild elephant that died of natural causes?
Well, listening to an expert explain it, it sounded all very reasonable to me. Just this. Any animal about to die becomes sick. Mm-hmm. It slows up. Cannot keep up with the herd.
Yes, and usually in nature, a sick or ailing animal is not welcomed, even among its own kind.
Exactly. In fact, such an animal is usually forcibly ejected from the herd.
And you mean, as soon as an elephant knows it's seriously ill, it goes away somewhere?
Yes, for quietness and peace. But more than that, animals just don't die without trying their best to get well. Take a bear, for instance. Stealing honey from a wild beehive, it usually gets its nose stung quite badly. And when that happens, what is the first thing it does?
Well, if it was me, I'd beat it for the doctor's office.
Well, so does the bear. Yeah, that is, his own doctor's office, the nearest mud puddle he can find. He digs his swollen nose deep in the cool mud, and that's his medicine, you see.
Oh, but still, that doesn't explain about sick elephants.
Well, it practically does. An elephant, I believe, is much like a pig back home. It likes a mud wallow. A bull elephant, after a fight with an opponent, sticks around a mud wallow till its wounds are healed.
Well, then why doesn't the ivory hunters look for mud wallows then? Wouldn't that be the place to find ivory? All hurt elephants can't cure themselves with mud.
That's true, Miss Jane. But to be brief, when you or I get sick, we have a decided rise in temperature. When we have a fever, we want to get cool. So do elephants. That's the theory of my friend. But ordinary mud wallows are not deep enough, not to cover the fevered body of an animal as big as an elephant.
Then where does it go to find such a place, a river with deep water?
Well, water isn't as cooling or curative as mud, Jimmy. So where else than quicksand?
Are there deep quicksands in the jungle, then?
In the jungle, right in this jungle country here, are to be found quicksands that are practically bottomless.
Ooh.
Then you believe elephants make use of the quicksands?
I believe as my friend does, yes. When an elephant grows too sick to stay with the herd, he sets out on a long, lonesome journey. In his memory, he recalls the nearest quicksand. Coolness, quietness. He wades slowly in, and in the coolness and the quietness, he slowly disappears, never to be seen again.
Say, that is an idea, isn't it? That would account for just why nobody has ever found an elephant that died a natural death.
Remember, Jimmy, it's just a theory, as told to me by a man who should know. But it's good enough for me until I can hear a better theory explained.
Hector's pup. Oh, that sure was interesting. Wait till I get a chance to tell that one to the kids back home.
Jean, I think you are going to like our jungle life after all. And why not? It's the most interesting place.
Yeah, well, it's about time to push off now. And, Morton, remember, I'm leaving these two roughnecks in your care.
Oh, thanks, Noyce. It will be good care, I assure you.
Yes, I know it will. And now suppose we leave things like this. I'll keep up on river for 10 days, not to exceed 2 weeks at best. If I haven't overtaken Grogan and Scroggins by that time, I'm afraid it will be useless to continue, traveling as late as I am.
Oh, you're returning then, back here to the post?
No, I have an idea that perhaps Jimmy and Jean could come on upriver, and I'll wait for them. But remember, that is to be permitted only if Quito is placed in charge.
He'll do that and enjoy it.
Well, that's agreed then. I'll keep in touch several times each day.
You mean by dropping balsa wood messages into the river and letting them float down in the current?
Exactly. And as soon as I decide that I need big canoes, I'll tell you, and then Quito will start up after me with his own big batalong, with a crew from his village. You pick the men, Morton.
I will.
And send my own two big dugouts and supplies with my crews along, Quito in charge. Jimmy and Jean, each in charge of one of my boats, but Quito in charge of all. Understood?
Yes, sir, Mr. Noyce.
That goes for me, too, Mr. Noyce.
All right, then. Goodbye, Morton, and take good care of them.
Oh, good hunting, old man.
Thank you. Goodbye, Miss Jean. Don't eat any fancy lunches up at the Indian village.
Oh,
right,
goodbye,
now.
Mr. Noyce, and good luck.
So long, Jimmy. Watch the river for my instructions now.
I will, sir. Leave it to me.
Okay, Pedro. Shove off.
Cheerio, old man.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And away they go for the next 2 weeks, continually on the heels of Mr. Butch Grogan and the Inca treasure map. And Jimmy and Jean are left behind to watch the river for floating messages that are supposed to arrive from time to time. Does Mr. Noyce meet up with Grogan? Do the looked-for messages come floating down to the youngsters? Or is Butch Grogan up to his old tricks again? Where is he right now? What's he doing? If Mr. Noyce knew that, he might not have started out so cheerfully this morning. But tune in with us the next time for more surprises in the jungle.